Jewish Bible. It's page 124, chapter 14. Everyone there? Adonai said to Moshe, "This is to be the law concerning the person afflicted with Tazarat on the day of the purification, Za'arat, which is leprosy. He is to be brought to the Kohen, and the Kohen is to go outside the camp and examine him there. If he sees that the Za'arat sores have been healed in the afflicted person, then the Kohen will order that the two living clean birds be taken for the one to be purified, along with the cedar wood, scarlet, yarn, and hyssop leaves. The Kohen is to order one of the birds slaughtered in a clay pot over running water. As for the live bird, he is to take it with the cedar wood, scarlet, yarn, and hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird slaughtered over running water, and sprinkle the person to be purified from the Za'arat seven times. Next, he is to set the live bird free in an open field." And dropping down to verse 14, "The Kohen is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of the person being purified, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Next, the Kohen is to take some of the 2/3 pint of olive oil and pour it onto the palm of his own left hand. Dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and sprinkle from the oil with his finger seven times before Adonai. Then the Kohen is to put some of the remaining oil in his hand on the tip of the right ear of the person being purified, on the thumb of his right hand, on the big toe of his right foot, and on the blood of the guilt offering."
Thanks, Greg. Good job. Okay, now obviously we only read a portion of the parasha here at the study, but hopefully, how many of you read the parasha this week, the whole thing? Okay, I want to encourage you to start doing that. It's in your bulletin. The parasha reading for next week is listed there in your bulletin. Go ahead and read that ahead of time so you can really start to get a feel for what the Word is teaching us. In your sermon notes in Roman numeral number 2, the sages and the rabbis taught us that biblical leprosy, Za'arat, symbolizes the normal human condition. Okay? That biblical leprosy is really just symbolic of the normal human condition. And what that is sin, it's uncleanness, it's separation from God, it's unrighteousness. How many know that that is our normal condition? That's kind of where we live. That's where we camp out. That's who we are. I mean, compared to God, think about what you must look like. And just push the love to the side for the moment. But your normal human condition, what does it look like next to God? Well, the Bible tells us that you can't even look on God without perishing, without being consumed. Because your condition is so far removed from Him that you're not even in the same league. You're not even in the same arena with Him. You are but dust, and He is Melech HaOlam, King of the Universe. Amen? So they taught us that biblical leprosy symbolizes the normal human condition. The Torah teaches us that the leper is a human being that is really a dead man walking. It's as if he's almost dead already. And this is the definition of our condition. A leper is as defiling as a corpse was. A righteous person could not touch a corpse without becoming unclean himself. And a person could not get in the presence or touch a leper without being unclean himself. He was defiled. The leper was required to mourn his own death while he was yet alive. Okay? How did he do that? By rending his garments. Remember, when a Jewish person dies, their family and friends rend their garments, tear their garments. He covers his face so that his shame is hidden. And he lets his hair go and is unkept. In other words, this is a human being that is just going down for the count. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5 real quick. For those in the Jewish Bible, it's page 444. Look what Isaiah the prophet says in 6:5. Then I said, "Woe to me! I too am doomed, because I, a man with unclean lips, living among a people with unclean lips, have seen with my own eyes the King, Adonai Zevaot." Okay? Now we are all like lepers, every one of us. When we read this section of scripture in Vayikra, Leviticus here, you need to understand that that is a description of your condition outside of Messiah. Now, you might say, well, I've received the Messiah, so I'm saved, so I'm in Messiah, so I'm okay. But let me ask you this question. Do you have areas of your life that are outside Messiah today? Then those areas of your life are leprous. They defile you. And they cannot come into the presence of the Lord. We will talk about that in a little bit. Turn to Romans 7:24. Shaul, Rabbi Shaul says in Romans 7:24, "What a miserable creature I am." Or the English Bible, "O wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body bound by death?" See, what Shaul is referring to is, in his condition outside Messiah, he is leprous. He is dying. He is a dead man walking. He is just waiting to die and go into destruction. And so this is what the Bible tells us about the leper. Just as the leper was banned from the tabernacle, we too are banned from God's presence. Okay? Just as the leper, we read that the leper could not go into the sanctuary. What is the sanctuary? The sanctuary is the place where people would go and get close to God. Now, you could stand outside. Those of you that have been to Jerusalem or Israel, by the way, Aaron, how was the trip?
Great.
You had a good time, huh? Change your life?
Yes.
Yeah, boy.
Yes.
Nothing like it. And now when I'm talking about these things, you know, you can picture it all. Oh, man. You guys get ready. We're going next. About a year from now, we'll be going to Jerusalem, to Israel. People could stand back from the Temple Mount, and they could see the smoke ascending into heaven. They could see the sacrifices going on. They could hear the priests blowing the shofars and the trumpets. They could hear the priests singing their praise. They could hear the people saying amen and worshiping God. But a leper could not go inside the tabernacle or the temple. He had to stand outside the gates. And he could only worship from afar. He couldn't get up close and personal with the Lord, with the King of the universe. And likewise, as the Bible shares that leper was banned from the tabernacle, we need to understand that we too are banned from his presence. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3:17. In fact, let's start in 3:15. "Yes, till today, whenever Moshe is read, a veil lies over their heart." So whenever the Torah is read, the veil lies over the heart of those that have not been circumcised in heart, those that have not received Messiah, basically. In 16, but, says the Torah, whenever someone turns to Adonai, the veil is taken away. And so we begin to see clearly. 17, now Adonai in this text means the Spirit. And where the Spirit of Adonai is, there is freedom.
Amen.
Now, here's the important thing. If the people could not get up to do the sacrifice and they could not get close to the Lord in this area, then there was no freedom for them. Because you've got to be where the Spirit of the Lord is to encounter the freedom of God. Now you might say, well, I've got the Spirit, I'm filled with the Spirit, I know Yeshua, I'm saved. I understand that. That's good. But there are areas in your life that do not submit to Messiah.
That's not true.
There are areas in your life that are defiled, standing afar off, and are not being set free.
Come on.
Is that true?
Yes.
Amen.
That's true. Just because you're saved, just because overall you're sanctified, there are dark spots in your life.
Oh boy.
How many of you want to be freed up from those spots?
Yeah.
Those spots of leprosy.
Amen.
You've got to press into God in those areas. You've got to get up close and personal with the Lord,
right,
because there is freedom.
Amen.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is. So you've got to bring the Spirit of the Lord into those areas. Sometimes in our faith, we just make this kind of a generalized statement. We think, well, I'm saved, I'm okay. Well, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Absolutely. That's great. That's good. But I want to work on my salvation this side of heaven. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to get rid of this wretched man that I'm carrying around. Because there's parts of me that I disdain. There's parts of me that I'm not pleased with. There's parts of me that are not pleasing to the Lord. Now, true, there are other parts of me that are very pleasing to the Lord, very submitted to God. But I want to get rid of that leprosy that I'm still carrying around, oh wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? In B, it was punishment. Biblical leprosy was considered punishment for Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. Okay? Now, remember last week I shared with you, biblical leprosy, by the way, was not contagious. You didn't get leprosy if you touched a leper. In fact, the rabbis tell us that the biblical leprosy was a summation of all of man's weakness and filth and everything else. It represents sin and uncleanness. And you don't get that from... Hold your question so I can get through there. We will have a midrash afterwards. Okay. It represents all of this uncleanness in the presence of God. And so, Lashon Hara, the evil tongue, is how you got leprosy. This is what the sages taught us. Okay? By speaking evil, or derogatory, or negative towards people. Gossip. Is not gossip one of the six things that the Lord hates? And yet, you know, it's one of the sins that's kind of acceptable in the church today. And it's not acceptable at all. When we read Isaiah 6:5, remember that? Isaiah said, oh, I'm undone because of my clean lips. And then he said, and I dwell with those that have unclean lips. Remember, lepers had to dwell together. So if you were diagnosed with leprosy, you had to go to the leper colony and live there. So Isaiah is saying, I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell amongst those with unclean lips. And then later on in that chapter he says, put the coal to my lips and cleanse me. What's he talking about? Lashon Hara. The evil tongue. Now turn to Matthew 15:18. Let me show you this. You never knew there was this much in Leviticus, did you? Matthew 15:18. Yeah, I know. That's the problem. 15:18. This is Yeshua speaking. He says, but what comes out of your mouth is actually coming from your heart. And that is what makes a person unclean. Now, he's not talking about sin here. He's not talking about losing your salvation. He's saying when you speak with Lashon Hara, you become unclean in God's presence. You become removed from God at that moment. How many know our sin separates us from God, even though we're saved? Is everybody aware of that? Just because you're saved and going to heaven, when you sin, there's a pulling away of the Spirit of God. You grieve the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there's liberty, but where the Spirit has pulled away, there is not liberty any longer, or freedom. There is but bondage. He says, for out of the heart come forth wicked thoughts, murder, adultery, and other kinds of sexual immorality, theft, lies, slanders. These are what really makes a person unclean. But eating without doing nitilat yadayim, the washing of the hands, does not make a person unclean. Okay? In 2 Timothy, turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 16. Joel's writing to Timothy and he says, but keep away from godless babbling or gossip. For those who engage in it will only become ungodly. More ungodly. And their teaching will eat away at people like gangrene. Didn't I tell you that was one of the results of leprosy? Leprosy is actually a nerve disorder. And what it does is it causes you to have no feeling. And so when you bump yourself or cut yourself, you don't even feel it. And because of that, you don't take care of it. And because you don't take care of it, you end up with infection becoming gangrene, and eventually your finger or your hand falling right off. That's kind of the process. Dee Dee was telling me, she's a nurse, she was telling me that the blood flow is cut off to those nerves. So gangrene or leprosy is healed by the blood.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Just something to keep in mind. The sages taught us also that Metzora, how many know today's parasha is called Metzora? It means leper. It's right up there at the top of your notes. Metzora is leper. Now, this word Metzora is derived from two other Hebrew words. The first being Motze. Motze. How many know the word Motze? We speak it every Shabbat. Okay? Motze lechem min haaretz. When we're blessing the bread. Motze means wellspring. We always say the one who brings forth bread from the earth. But it's the wellspring. Same thing, the one that brings forth or the wellspring. But I want you to capture this word wellspring. Is this word motzi or source. And it's also made up of the second Hebrew word, which is ra. Remember we just saw that, Lashon ra. Evil. And so what we see here is this word Metzora literally has the connotation and the meaning of the wellspring of evil. Raw.
R-A.
No. What comes out of you is evil. Lashon Hara. Okay? Turn to James. I'll show you this. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 10 says, now remember the word wellspring. Out of the mouth, out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Brothers, It isn't right for things to be this way. A spring, this is James because he's very familiar with this whole thing that we're learning. A spring doesn't send forth both fresh and bitter water from the same opening, does it? The wellspring. Okay? So this is punishment for Lashon Hara. Roman numeral 3, the Bible teaches us, A, cleansing of lepers was proof of Messiahship. The sages knew that the Messiah would come and he would heal leprosy. Because remember, Torah only diagnosed leprosy. There was no healing for leprosy. What is leprosy? It's the human condition. How many know? You know, I just marvel when groups of people get in their head that people are getting inherently better. I don't see that. I mean, I guess these people never turn on the news or something. People are not getting better. People are getting further from righteousness. We are digressing. We're going down. So the priests and the sages and the rabbis, they knew that Messiah would be a healer of the human condition, a healer of leprosy. That was one of the signs they were looking for, in fact. They also knew that the kingdom of heaven was present when lepers were being healed. Because remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Freedom from our bondage. Liberty in the Lord. Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 4 and 5. You know the story. Yochanan, John the Baptist, is in prison. He's looking for Messiah. He thinks Yeshua is Mashiach. But he's kind of questioning it. You know how we do that sometimes. And so he sends his disciples to Yeshua. And in verse 4, Yeshua answered, "Go and tell Yochanan that you are hearing what you are hearing and seeing. The blind are seeing again. The lame are walking." See, he's talking about actual healings here. People with sarat are being cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are being raised. The good news is being told to the poor. And how blessed is anyone not offended by me? How many know we go from faith to faith, glory to glory? As I was reading this scripture, I just thought, it's incumbent upon you and I to always be willing to go to the next level. And my heart breaks because I see so many believers that go this far and then they just decide they're not going any further. They can't go to the next level. They can go, but they're choosing not to go. They dig their heels in for whatever reason. They go, "This is not what I've always done." Tradition is such a killer for us. The Lord said, "Your tradition makes the Word of God null and void altogether." Don't let your tradition get in the way. There's nothing wrong with tradition for tradition's sake. But if it causes you to stop growing in Messiah, it's sinful. Period. Does that make sense? And how blessed is anyone who is not offended by me? How blessed, I thought, are the people that are getting this teaching that is taking us back to our ancient roots, the ancient paths. I am so blessed personally. Because something for 30 years has been missing in my faith. And I didn't quite understand what it was, but with the advent of learning about our roots, the foundation of our faith, my faith has just come to life once again. It's been reborn. I'm glad I didn't stop short of what I'm learning today. In fact, I'm glad I didn't stop last week and not study this week's portion. Because this week's portion has really ministered to me. Don't stop going forward in the Lord. Amen. Roman numeral 3b. Lepers were banned from the tabernacle. Lepers were banned from the tabernacle. The tabernacle was just the temple in the wilderness. Okay? Now remember, the local congregation, when they meet in a synagogue or a church building, this does not replace the temple. You have to understand that. It never did. The local synagogue never replaced the temple. You were not allowed to sacrifice in the synagogue. You had to go to Jerusalem to sacrifice. And in fact, people that want to get in my face over this teaching, they say, well, why aren't you sacrificing? Well, because Torah tells us we can't sacrifice today. It's against God's law, it's against God's Torah to sacrifice anywhere except in Jerusalem, at the temple. It's a sin if you do it. Torah has made that provision. So, they were banned from the tabernacle. They couldn't get close to God, just as we are banned from God's presence. When we discover that we have leprosy hiding within our members, remember on Friday nights we're teaching through Romans, and Rabbi Shaul is talking about the 10 members of our body, how unruly they are. And then, of course, James talks specifically about the tongue, how ruly and uncontrollable it really is. And all of these things lead to areas in our life, unruly members, that cause leprosy, biblical leprosy, to be present in us. We therefore are banned in that arena from really pressing into God. One of the biggest mistakes I think that has taken place in the church is what I call cheap grace. Look, I believe in grace as much as anybody. Grace is awesome. And the Old Testament teaches grace. The Tanakh teaches grace. There's no doubt about it. But we, many of us, have taken grace and we say, well, because I'm under grace and I'm not under the law, I can really do whatever I want and God just has to take care of me. And that's not true. It's just not true. The Word of God, both Old and New Testament, neither one teaches that. What they teach, in fact, is when there's sin present, God separates Himself. How many know sin separates us from God, even if you're saved? Now, we can't quite get a handle on that because the Lord lives inside me, and yet He separates from me. This is a concept that's too big for us to get. But there's a dynamic there. It's the same kind of dynamic that the Word tells us. You have the Spirit of the living God living inside you. But when two or more are gathered together, the Spirit of the Lord is there. So what does that mean? He's not there when I'm alone? No, He's there when you're alone. But it's in a different dynamic. And I can't really explain it. I don't think anybody can explain it. But the Word says it, so therefore we know it's true. That's why it says, forsake not the fellowship of the saints. Too many people think, well, I can just stay home, and I don't need the body. I can fellowship at home by myself because the Spirit lives in me. And that's true, but there's a different dynamic. And unless there's two or more, you don't get the second dynamic. You only get the first dynamic, whatever that is. And I've had some great times with the Lord by myself, as I'm sure you have. But we were told not to forsake the fellowship for a very distinct purpose. Because the Spirit of the Lord wants to do something in us when we're together that He can't do in us when we're alone. Make sense? Okay. So lepers were banned from the tabernacle. We were banned from God's presence and His Shekinah. S-H-E-K-I-N-A-H. Shekinah. We've always said Shekinah. Same difference. It's His glory. Now, how many know that all fall short of His glory? Romans 3:23. Now, sometimes after we receive the Lord, we think that we only fell short of His glory prior to salvation. Isn't that true? I mean, we think the sinners out there, the people that don't know the Lord, are falling short of God's glory. But man, I'm a member of a Pentecostal congregation. I've got the glory of God. Well, the Word says that we are all fall short. That means there's areas in your life where the glory certainly is ruling and reigning. You know that, and I know that, and it's truth. There are areas where the glory of God is alive and well in your life, but there are areas in your life where there is no glory. That's what we're talking about here. Remember, the thing we've been learning through Romans is it's not talking about our salvation. Most of the New Testament is not dealing with people's salvation. Read it in context, and you'll realize it's talking about our walking with the Lord, this side of heaven. And to make it easy on ourselves, we want to think that most of it just has to do with salvation. I get saved, and I'm just really waiting for the rapture to happen. I don't know why the Lord just doesn't take me now. No, He wants us to work out our salvation with much fear and trembling. He wants us to work on our salvation this side of heaven. Not our going to heaven. Can you hold your questions? Not just write them down and we'll talk about them after. Not about going to heaven. That is our salvation. But this side of heaven. God wants to deal with us here and now. Amen? Roman numeral 4. Turn to Mark 1. Mark chapter 1. We're going to read in verse 41. Let's actually start in 40. Now the setting is up in the Galilee. Aaron knows about the Galilee. The Galilee. Beautiful. It's probably my favorite part of all of Israel. I love the Galilee. Except Jerusalem. Jerusalem outshines everything. But the Galilee is awesome. So this story takes place in the Galilee. A man afflicted with sarat came to Yeshua and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, how many have thought that this scripture is talking about a healing? It's not. He's not talking about being healed. He's talking about leprosy, which makes us unclean and unable to go to the temple. Unable to get close to God. Now, I want you to capture this because this is key. He's not just coming to the Lord begging for a healing. He's coming and saying, "Lord, I'm unclean. I can't get near the temple to sacrifice and to worship Adonai Elohim. And I want to get close. And my disease, my condition, keeps me from drawing near." Leprosy was the only disease that kept you out of God's presence. And that's because it's the summation of all that's dirty and ungodly in you. Okay, so he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Okay? Moved with pity. Now, I wonder why Yeshua was moved with pity. I think one reason is the motivation of this man's heart was pure. I think often we don't see healings because our motivation is not pure. And I can tell you that's the truth, because I've seen people that have cried out to the Lord for years and years, get healed, and then stop walking with Him. They're skiing every weekend. I'm serious. It's like the nine lepers that never came back and thanked Him. God moves in our life, and we wanted healing so we could be like everyone else, so we could do what we wanted to do. This man, he wants to be cleansed so he can come into the presence of God. How many know the Lord Yeshua is going to honor that kind of a prayer? So Yeshua is moved with pity. Yeshua reaches out His hand, touches him, and says to him, "I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing, be cleansed." And we're going to talk in a few minutes, because as soon as Yeshua touches the leper, what does the word tell us? Yeshua becomes unclean. How many know Yeshua was subject to Torah? He wasn't above Torah. If you touch a leper, you are unclean. Now, we know He could have just spoken the word, because He did heal lepers that way. He just said the word and they were healed. He reaches out and He touches the leper, symbolic of the leper becomes cleansed and he becomes unclean. It's a picture of the cross. Because on the cross, He took on our transgressions. He took on our leprosy. He took on our uncleanness upon Himself. That's powerful. That's powerful when you begin to really get the impact of that.
Are you recording this?
I am. Moved with pity, Yeshua reaches out His hand, touches him, and says to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." 42. Instantly, the sarad left him, and he was cleansed. This is a picture of being born again. I mean, when you got born again, did all your sin leave you?
No.
Did all of your uncleanness leave you?
No.
But all of a sudden, you were made clean and you came into the presence of God that the day prior to, you had no concept was even available to you. Isn't that true? Yeshua in 43 sent him away. Now listen to this. If Yeshua had come to negate the law, to do away with Torah, this would have been His perfect place, one of many, I might add, perfect place to tell the guy, "Look, we're no longer under Torah, so don't even worry about what Torah says anymore. I've cleansed you. I'm Yeshua. I'm the Mashiach. And I've cleansed you, so just go and do your thing."
Yeah.
He didn't say that at all.
Right.
Because the Lord said Himself, "I didn't come to do away with Torah. I didn't come to do away with Torah or the prophets." Period. Only people that teach replacement theology say Torah is gone today. The Word of God never says that, and Messiah never says that. Look at what He says. Yeshua sent him away with his stern warning. "See to it that you tell no one. Instead, as a testimony to the people, go and let the Kohen examine you." Remember, we just read in Vayikra, in Leviticus, the cleansed leper had to go to the priest and be pronounced clean. And there was a process that he went through that we're going to talk about. "And offer for your cleansing what Moshe commanded." This is Yeshua speaking. He says, "You're cleansed of leprosy, you go and you do what Moshe said to do in the Torah." Let me tell you something. The living Torah never contradicts the written Torah.
That's right.
The living Torah never did away with the written Torah.
Right.
How do I know that? Today, the living Torah is sitting at the right hand of power. He's not even here. Do you realize it's not Yeshua that lives inside you? How many understand that? It's the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. The living Word is at the right hand of the Father. What we have in our hands today is the written Word. Are you getting that? Getting a picture of that? So do what Moshe commanded. Okay, now let's talk about this. Roman numeral 4, let's follow the leper through his purification, okay? Let's see what happens now that he's been cleansed by Yeshua. I mean, if Torah wasn't valid, I don't know why Yeshua just said, you know what? Give God the glory, have a nice day, see you in heaven. He said, you go and you do what Moshe told you to do.
Yeah.
So here's the process. Here's the journey. Roman numeral 5, write these down quickly. The priest needed 6 ritual items. A, 2 live clean birds. B, cedar wood. C, scarlet wool. D, hyssop. And E, a clay pot filled with living water. Now let's look at these things. Was what? B was D. D was hyssop. Let's look at these 6 ritual items, but before we do, let's go through the scenario of what happened. The leper is in Galilee. The Galilee is in the northern part of the nation of Israel. It's a good week's walk down to Jerusalem from there. Okay? And that's if you just go about your business. You don't stop at the different towns. We know, however, he stopped at all the towns and told all the people he was healed and cleansed. He was excited. You know, Yeshua says to him, okay, we're here in the Galil. Now that you're cleansed, make your journey, go on down to Jerusalem, and offer to the priest what Moshe commanded. Take a week off work, and you go. This is not a little thing. This is a big thing. That's like me saying, okay, you got cleansed. Now I want you to take a week off work, and I want you to go to Washington, D.C. and report to the leaders.
Yeah.
It's a big production. It's a big interruption in your life. See, what we want Yeshua to touch us and not interrupt our lives at all. Just touch me. I'm a microwave kind of guy. I want it fast. And I don't want any obligation attached to it.
Yeah.
After all, I'm under grace.
Oh,
you do all the work, and I get all the bennies.
Oh.
That's not how it works. This is certainly grace. It's grace that this man was cleansed. It's grace because now he can do what Torah tells him to do, whereas before he couldn't even do it. Okay? So he goes, he's in the Galilee, he's cleansed, he starts his journey down to Jerusalem. Once he gets to Jerusalem, however, if you read the parasha this week, you will know that when he got there, he's not allowed inside the city gates. Even though he is now cleansed, he is still contagious. In other words, his uncleanness can rub off on other people for the next 7 days. So he has to stand outside the city gates. Remember the gates of Jerusalem?
Yeah.
He stands outside. He can see the smoke going up in the temple. He can hear the shouts and the praises going on. But he can't go in yet. Yeshua has said you're cleansed, but you can't go in yet. Because you're not cleansed enough yet. Okay? So he sends somebody in to talk to the priest. The priest comes out and the priest brings these 6 items with him. Because the priest is coming out and he says, okay, I've got somebody that says he's cleansed from leprosy. I'm going to examine him. And if he's cleansed, I'm going to do the ritual. Okay? The priest comes out and performs the ritual outside the gates of Jerusalem. He takes one of the birds and he kills this bird over the vessel, the clay pot of living water, creating a blood-water mixture. The blood is drained into the living water. Look, you don't need to be a PhD to make the connection here. What came out of Yeshua on the cross? Blood and water, because he is the purifying sin offering. Is that good? Aren't you glad you read Leviticus? He kills the bird, creates the blood-water mixture. The other bird is tied up with the scarlet yarn and the hyssop, and he's bound to the cedar board.
Wow.
That is a picture of Yeshua on the cross.
Wow.
Then it's dipped into the pot with the blood-water mixture. We need to be washed in the blood.
Yes.
And washed with the water of the washing of the Word.
Yes.
Ephesians.
That's right.
Dipped into the pot with the mixture. The priest then sprinkles the leper 7 times. Just splashes him with blood and water. Now remember, how many remember the teaching I gave? Yeshua shed his blood 7 places on the cross. Here's the 7 things. This is the picture of Messiah. Okay? That's why he said, go and show the priest as a testimony to the priest. Because the priest knew that the Messiah would come and deal with leprosy. They were waiting for the one that could deal with leprosy. The live bird, then, is untied and released, and he flies away. Now, the ceremony, the purification, is not over yet. Because isn't it true you and I go from faith to faith, glory to glory? Your cleansing is a process. Your salvation is instantaneous. Your cleansing is a process. Work out your salvation with much fear and trembling is the cleansing process. And you can stop anytime you want. You can stop now outside the temple. Now, this leper is free now to go through the city gates of Jerusalem. He can go right up to the steps of the temple, but he cannot go into the temple yet. He can't contaminate people now, but he himself is not ritually clean to go into the presence of God yet and sacrifice. So what happens? I forgot this. The priest has shaved this leper. Shaved his head, his eyebrow, every hair on his body is gone. This is humiliating. This speaks of humbleness. That we must humble ourselves before the Lord. He's completely shaved, no hair at all on his body, and he is just 7 splashes of blood and water on him. Puts his clothes back on, goes into the city, and there's a place in the temple where the leper is waiting for their 7 days to pass, because he has to wait 7 days now and then be checked out again. 7 days represents, obviously, 7,000 years.
Yeah.
That God is dealing with man's uncleanness. Okay? He says there's a place right near the temple where all the lepers waiting stay. Okay? So he's shaved and he is immersed in a mikvah. Then he goes into the city. He waits 7 days. He comes out to the priest comes to him again. He's checked out again, and if he's still clean, he's shaven again and he's immersed in the mikvah again. Now he is ready to go up the temple steps. You saw the mikvah baths at the steps of the temple? That's what this was all about right here. You couldn't go up those steps through those gates till you went into the mikvah. Simple as that. If you did, the word tells us, you might die. Aaron's sons offered strange incense to the Lord and died. And that's not just an Old Testament concept. We're told in Corinthians, just by taking communion with a wrong attitude, you can die. It is a serious God. This is New Testament under grace. What? I could die for not having been clean? Coming to the communion table? Yeah. That's what the word says. Okay. Now, let's look at these different ritual items. The 2 live clean birds. Clean goes back to the very beginning of time. Okay? It goes back before Torah. I shared with you, in fact, hate to take the time, but let's do it. Go to Genesis. Chapter 4. You remember the sin of Cain when he kills Abel was all about it was a tithe issue. Remember that? It was an offering issue. It says here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, in the course of time, in the Hebrew, that's Meketz Yamim, right, Haim? Miketz Yamim, and it means the end of days. This was the Sabbath day, by the way. It was Shabbat. How many know what day is Shabbat? Number 7, the last day of the week. All the way back in Genesis, they were worshiping the Lord on Shabbat. Period. It's simple as that. Miketz Yamim. They came on the end of days, the Sabbath. Cain brought an offering to Adonai from the produce of the soil. And Hevel, too, brought the firstborn of his sheep. Okay? By the way, this word offering is the mincha offering. And we studied that. There's the different offerings. The mincha offering is the grain or the bread offering. He was supposed to bring the fat for the burnt offering. Remember? It was a blood offering, not a grain offering. Okay, so he brought the wrong thing to the Lord, just thinking, well, we're under grace. Hallelujah. I'll just bring whatever I can spare this week. And it turned to murder. See, it just wasn't good. The whole concept of clean was here because he brought a clean. Abel brought a clean animal of the firstborn of his sheep. Sheep are clean. Noah. How many know Noah was before the Mosaic Law? God said to Moses, clean animals, unclean. God says to Noah, clean animals, unclean. How did Noah know what was clean and what was unclean? There was no Mosaic Law yet. Because God has written His law in our hearts long before Torah was written on paper. This whole concept was already established. So in other words, this whole thing of clean and unclean goes way back before the law, before Torah. It's valid for all mankind. The first bird is a sacrifice. It's a type of hatat prayer, sin offering. But not exactly, because it can be done outside the city. Okay, so it's just a type of. The second bird is a type of the Azazel, which we'll be studying next week. The Azazel is the scapegoat, which takes the sins away. Remember the Lord, as He was tied on the cross, when He was taken down, where did He go? Where did He go after He was buried? He went into the center of the earth. And He deposited your uncleanness there and then resurrected. We're going to talk all about the Azazel next week. The cedar wood. Rashi tells us, now Rashi is a Jewish sage. And again, when I quote these Jewish sages, what they have to say is not gospel. It's just a commentary. But they devote their lives to studying the Word of God, and they've got some insights. Rashi says the cedar wood was used because the cedar was tall and lofty. It represents a haughty spirit. We're not going to go here for the sake of time, but mark down Isaiah 2, 12 and 13. You'll see the correlation. The cedar wood was red color and resistant to decay. Remember, biblical leprosy was all about decaying, decomposition. About us going through our life just kind of decomposing as we're going.
Being putrid.
Outside of Yeshua, that's the case of humankind. Just putrefying. Cedar wood was the principal building material for the temple. Cedar, how many know cedar has a fragrant scent, which represents the incense in the temple. Also in Revelation, the prayers of the saints ascend as incense, a sweet-smelling fragrance, and it's red in color, representing the blood. So when we have the blood, covered in the blood, and our prayers ascending before heaven, is a picture of the cedar wood. It's a picture of the cross. And the Lord talked about that, remember? Keep the moths and the thieves out. Scarlet wool. Rashi tells us, so that gossipers and slanders would remember to humble themselves like worms. Because the Hebrew is Shinai Tolaat, means scarlet string. It can also be interpreted scarlet worm. So they use this wool Remember, the psalmist referred to himself as a worm. I think thinking probably in this vein. Isaiah 1:18. Let's mark it down in your notes. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as wool." And so this scarlet wool is symbolic of that. By the way, once wool has been dyed red, it can never be turned white again. Only supernaturally can it ever go back to white. The hyssop. Rashi again says the cedar was used to represent the haughty spirit. Hyssop is the opposite of the cedar. A person should try to be like the hyssop, not the cedar. The cedar was the most lofty of trees, and the hyssop was a little bush that grew out of the walls and foundations. In 1 Kings 4:33, you can look this up. But Solomon tells us, it tells us in the Word that he knew and he learned about the trees and the hyssop. It makes the whole correlation there. Psalm 51:7 says, "Purify me with hyssop and I will be clean." Amen. And the sixth thing was a clay pot filled with living water. Ma'im ha'im. Ma'im ha'im. Ma'im ha'im. Right? Like your name, Haim. Because Haim's name means life. Haim is living. Haim. Ma'im ha'im. Living water. Now what is living water? Well, it's Yeshua, but it's more than that. I mean, I always thought it was weird, you know, rivers of living water will come out and going, what the heck is living water anyway? I mean, does it have bugs in it or what? What is living water? You know, this is just not a concept that makes sense to us. Water is water. What is living water? I never quite understood that. Well, living water is running water that's drawn from a natural source. Even rain that is collected in a pool or a mikvah is considered living water. In other words, it's natural. It comes from heaven. It has its source from God. It's not pond scum, exactly. It's got to be running. And of course, we know that running water has qualities of cleanness and pureness. I mean, after all, Arrowhead water is brought forth high in the mountains. I love that commercial. Okay. Living water. Listen to this. Living water is a component of almost every purification ritual in the Word of God. And it's the immersion into the living water via the mikvah. The mikvah is the bath that contains the living water. Remember, this leper had to go into the mikvah. When you go to Jerusalem, you stand on the steps that Yeshua walked on to go up into the temple, and there's mikvahs right there. That's where they went in and they bathed. Because they could not go up those stairs. Even Yeshua could not go up those stairs and through those doors without going into the mikvah. Why? He's touched the leper, and he is unclean. He cannot come into the presence of the Lord. Remember what the Father said to Yeshua when he was... Where what Yeshua said to the Father when he's on the cross, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" In other words, why has your presence left me? Because he was at that moment unclean. And grace is not enough for the presence of God to even be in the presence of Yeshua when he's unclean. That's serious. We got to get a hold of this. Because you and I need to start dealing with the uncleanness in our lives. Because I'm telling you, it's hindering us. It is keeping us from the fullness of what God has for us. I believe that. I believe that. In Judaism, the immersion into the living water symbolizes rebirth and a return to the original purity of Eden. Remember Eden? Adam walked in the cool of the evening with God. I don't know any Christians that walk in the cool of the evening with God. Not one. I think the Lord wants to bring us back to the ancient paths. I think the Lord wants to bring us back to the way it was. Not the way it's become. Because I, for one, am not impressed with the way it's become. It just doesn't coincide with what I read. At all. Something is amiss. And I know it's not him. So that only leaves me. Okay? Yeshua is the living water. Amen? Turn to John 4:10. John 4:10. Give me a couple minutes here and we'll wrap this up. 4:10. This is the woman in Shomron. Yeshua answers her, if you knew God's gift, that is, who is saying to you, give me a drink of water, then you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. In other words, if you had asked, I would make you pure in the mikvah. Pure with the living water. Turn to 7:38, John. 7:38. Well, let's start in 37. Now, on the last day of the festival, Shana Rabbah, Yeshua stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and drinking. Whoever puts his trust in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his innermost being. See, as a Gentile, unless we take on a Hebraic mind, we don't even understand what he's talking about with the living water. We just don't get it. But he's saying, if you'll call unto me, I will make you ritually clean so that you can come into the fullness of the glory of God. The Jews understood this because they understood mikvah. They understood living water. We Gentiles don't understand. We go, living water, what's that? And we just think it's got some spiritual connotation to it. That, well, he's the living water. Whatever that is. Seems good to me. But when you understand he's talking about partaking of the living water and being cleansed. Not for salvation. Didn't he say to his disciples on the Passover Seder? He said, you're already clean in me. But he said to Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet where you've become unclean, you have no part of me. But he wasn't saying Peter wasn't saved. This has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with our daily walk. Halakha. Halakha. Our walking with the Lord. How many of you are more worried about your walk today than you are your salvation? I am. If you're saved here today, I hope you're more worried about your walk than your salvation. Your salvation's a done deal. It's finished. You and I need to be worrying about our walk so that God will not leave us. So we won't separate from His Spirit. I can't afford to go 5 minutes in this world apart from His Spirit. I can't afford my uncleanness to separate me from Him. I've got to deal with this. I've got to deal with this. I've got to work this out, as Paul said. Revelation 22 says, streams of living water will come down out of the throne. The Hebrew term mikvah of Israel. Chaim, I want you to look this up in the Hebrew, if you will, for me. Jeremiah 17:13. If you can look that up. The term mikvah of Israel has a double meaning. It means both the mikvah of Israel and the hope of Israel. Okay, or the purification of Israel. From Jeremiah, turn there. Turn to Jeremiah 17:13. Jeremiah 17:13. Where it says, hope of Israel. Mitzvah Israel. The word for hope and mitzvah are one and the same word. Okay, now let's read Jeremiah. Hope of Israel, Adonai. All who abandon you will be ashamed. Those who leave you will be inscribed in the dust because they have abandoned Adonai, the source of living water. Heal me, Adonai, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Now, we quote the very last part of this scripture all the time. Heal me, and I'll be healed. Save me, and I'll be saved. But we forget all the rest of it. But really, what he's talking about here is the hope, or the mitzvah, of Israel. Now, Acts 28:20, turn there. Acts 28:20. Luke is writing this. And this is Shaul speaking. Shaul says, this is why I've asked to see you and speak with you, for it is because of the mikvah of Israel that I have this chain around me. The early believers understood mikvah, and they practiced cleansing. They did these things. Amen? All right. Very quickly, Sandy, if you will come and read. Can I have a few more minutes?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the best is yet to come.
I know, we like it.
Yeah.
We'll give you all the time.
use the microphone.
I will.
Follow along for Aliyah here as we read.
Yeah, it's Leviticus 14:33. If I can find it. Adonai said to Moshe and Aaron, when you have entered the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as a possession, I put an infection of, say it, Pastor, Tzaratza, in your house in the land that you possess, then the owner of the house is to come and tell the Kohen, it seems to me that there may be an infection in the house. And then 15:1. Adonai said to Moshe and Aaron, tell the people of Israel, when any man has a discharge from his body, the discharge is unclean. And 16, if a man has a seminal emission, he is to bathe his entire body in water. He be unclean until evening. And 18, if a man goes to bed with a woman and has sexual relations, both are to bathe themselves in water. They will be unclean until evening. And then, let's see, 18 through 20. If a woman has a discharge and the discharge from her body is blood, she will be in her state of nadah for 7 days. Whoever touches her will be unclean until evening. Everything she lies on or sits on in her state of nadah will be unclean. And then 31. In this way, you will separate the people of Israel from their uncleanliness so that they will not die in a state of uncleanliness for defiling my tabernacle which is there with them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you want to come up and read Aliyah, men, you need to be wearing your tallits and kippahs on Sunday, and women, scarves. And I just invite whoever gets here early and to come and read. Now, what we've read here is very interesting. How many know that the things that we just read about are not sin? Having sex with your spouse is not sin. How many understand that? How many know, in fact, it's a mitzvah? Now, that's the part I like. It's a mitzvah. But what we just read is even though it's commanded by God, when you participate in it, you become unclean. Your house can become unclean. What we just read is a woman who is in that time of the month, if she sits on a chair, that chair becomes unclean, and anybody that sits in that chair becomes unclean. What we're talking about here is the holiness of God. Even though we're under grace, our normal human condition is unclean to Him. Even though we're under grace, even though we're covered by these things. And these laws of cleanliness had to do with going to the temple and sacrificing. So since there is no temple today, the laws of uncleanliness pretty much don't apply to us, but there is certainly a spiritual application that does. Now, I'm not saying you, every time you have sex with your spouse, you need to get out and do a mitzvah. I'm not saying that. But you need to understand that now this very thing that you've been commanded to do has caused you to be unclean in God's eyes. What that tells me, and what that's really showing me, is how I need to go minute by minute taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I need to understand that things in life make me unclean, although I am under grace. I am not just good to go any old time I please. I need to stay right before God. I need to stay on top of my lifestyle. I need to stay on top of the lifestyle of those that are around me. Because I can be polluted by their uncleanness. You know, if I come up to a group of people and they're talking gossip and I just enter in, I'm unclean. Actually, I'm unclean by just even going up to the group. That's how God sees it. So what does that tell me? I don't have to go home and get in the mikvah. But what I need to do is 1 John 1:9. I need to confess my sin, my uncleanness, and get right with Him. Yeah, but I wasn't gossiping. Yeah, but you were in the presence of leprosy. And if you want to get close to God now, which I know you do, and you might say, well, that's legalism. It's not legalism. God is showing us how to get close so we can obtain freedom.
Amen.
But because we have such a better idea, so many believers are walking around in bondage today, not freedom. Oh, I'm under grace, but I'm so bonded up, I can't even stand it. I'm in such bondage, my life is falling apart. Something's wrong with the picture, folks. Amen? Something's wrong with that. So this is that contrast, Roman numeral 7. This is the contrast between God's holiness and our uncleanness. I think if we can get a hold of this picture, it will just change the way we do halacha, the way we walk our lives, the way we conduct ourselves in our daily lives. Now, because of God's holiness and our uncleanness, because of this, listen to this, the sages understood that Messiah was going to be rejected by the rabbis. Just as the leper was rejected from society because he was unclean, Messiah was also to be rejected. This is Judaism 101. Okay? Now, remember back in Mark 1:40, where the leper from Galilee, or up in the Galilee, he comes and Yeshua touches him. Yeshua touches the leper, which is in direct violation of remaining clean. It's not against Torah to touch the leper. It's just you become unclean when you do it. That's what Torah is saying. And then you have to be cleansed. So when Messiah reaches out and touches the leper, he becomes unclean. When Messiah reaches out and touches you, he becomes unclean. Okay? Now, They understood this. The Talmud teaches us in Roman numeral 8. They had a saying. They had a name for Messiah. They knew that when Messiah came, this would be one of his names, the leper of the house of study. The leper of the house of study is the name of Messiah. He's also called the leper Messiah, Roman numeral A, the leper Messiah. Because remember, when Messiah came, they knew that Messiah would deal with leprosy. They knew that Messiah would deal with the uncleanness of humans. Our normal state. But how many know that in our normal state, we're not saved? How many know that in our normal state, before we meet Yeshua, you can be a good person, but you still are not saved? You have to have Yeshua. You have to have Messiah in your life to be saved. Okay, so we call him the leper Messiah because he has taken on our leprosy. In the church, we more often than not call him the suffering Messiah because that's our understanding. But we think suffering Messiah was he was suffering on the cross. But why was he suffering on the cross? He had to die for our uncleanness. A sacrifice had to be made for your uncleanness. Remember the leper, he went to the gates, then he finally went into the city, and then finally he went up to the Temple Mount and sacrificed. There had to be a sacrifice before the leper was completely cleansed. And the blood offering. And there has to be a blood offering for us, and it's Yeshua. And so we think of him as the suffering Messiah. But when I hear the word the leper of the house of study or the leper Messiah, it kind of gives me chills. It kind of, for me, it kind of pierces my heart and I go, oh my gosh, my uncleanliness. And doesn't Hebrews say our uncleanliness is causing him to be crucified over and over and over again? Just something to think about. See, Yeshua took on our uncleanness. Now, doesn't the word tell us that Messiah was humble even to the point of death? The hyssop. Here's the ingredients of this ritual offering. He's the hyssop, the humble hyssop. He was stretched out on the cross, the cedar board, and tied to the cedar board with the scarlet yarn. His blood and his water mingled at the cross. He was the sacrificial bird. Then he was taken down off the cross, laid in the tomb, and he descended into the innermost parts of the earth, the Azazel, and he carried our sin and our uncleanness away from us. We'll study that more in depth next week. And he himself became the Mayim Haim, the living water, D, that we are washed in. I want to leave you with one thought today. Roman numeral 9. Our uncleanness not only can, but does defile us. When you enter into uncleanness of any kind, and especially Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. Brothers and sisters, I can't encourage you enough. Watch your tongue. Because it is an unruly member. It defiles, James says, the entire body. Watch out for it. Amen.